Our scripture reading today comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. The next time Jesus taught beside Lake Galilee, a big crowd gathered. It was so large that he had to sit in a boat out on the lake while the people stood on the shore. He used stories to teach them many things, and this is part of what he taught.
Now listen. A farmer went out to scatter seed in a field. While the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell along the road and was eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on thin, rocky ground and quickly started growing because the soil wasn't very deep. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and dried up because they did not have enough roots. Some other seeds fell where thorn bushes grew up and choked out the plants, so they did not produce any grain. But a few seeds did fall on good ground, where the plants grew and produced 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as was scattered.
Then Jesus said,
"If you have ears, pay attention."
When Jesus was alone with the 12 apostles and some others, they asked him about these stories. He answered,
"The secret of God's kingdom has been given to you, but to those who are outside, everything comes in parables. This is so that they can look and see, but have no insight, and they can hear, but not understand. Otherwise, they might turn their lives around and be forgiven."
Jesus told them,
"If you don't understand this story, you won't understand any others. What the farmer is spreading is really the message about the kingdom. The seeds that fell along the road are the people who hear the message, but Satan soon comes and snatches it away from them. The seeds that fell on rocky ground are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it right away, but they don't have any roots, and they don't last very long. As soon as life gets hard or the message gets them in trouble, they give up. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes are also people who hear the message, but they start worrying about the needs of this life. They are fooled by the desire to get rich and to have all kinds of other things. So the message gets choked out and they never produce anything. The seeds that fell on good ground are the people who hear and welcome the message. They produce 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as was planted."
I thought we might start out today with a little self-assessment quiz about our relationship with our technology. I'll ask a few questions and you can answer them in your heads. No need to raise your hand. Here we go. Number one. How often do you look at a screen, your phone, your computer, a TV? How often do you look at a screen in bed before you fall asleep? How about this? Do you check your phone first thing in the morning before you've gotten out of bed? When you walk out of the house and discover you've forgotten your cell phone, how intense is the panic? What's the farthest you've ever gone back to your house to get it? When was the last time you waited in line somewhere, anywhere, without looking at your phone? Do you feel bummed when you get to the bathroom and realize you forgot to bring your phone with you? What about this? When you hear that bing notification sound, do you feel this deep compulsion to drop everything and just see who it is? When you're eating dinner? When you're driving? How often do you interrupt a conversation with a real person in the room to respond to a text message or a phone call? When you're at work, do you more often feel like email and voicemail and texts are tools that serve you? Or like somehow they have taken control, like you live in service to them? Do you regularly leave a TV on in the background even if you're not really watching it? I was blown away by this. According to Nielsen, Americans on average watch more than 5 hours of television a day. That comes out to 77 full days of your life per year. How many times a day do you check the news? Does it really change that much? How about this? Are you like me sometimes? Have you ever looked up after surfing the internet and realized that a half hour of your life or more has gone by and you're not really sure what you were even looking at? How'd we do? Don't feel bad. You are not alone. I am preaching to myself this week. Somehow, our relationship to technology has gotten out of whack. Hear me, I am not saying that technology is evil. Far from it. We carry in our pockets a device with access to the sum total of human knowledge. We can communicate with people on the far side of the globe instantaneously. This is a powerful tool. But somehow we've gotten out of balance. The challenge used to be getting information, but now we live each day under a barrage of information. We're inundated by it. Sorting through what's true and what's deep and what is worthwhile is the challenge. Somehow we've gotten out of balance. One of the characters in Incredibles 2 puts it like this. She says, "We watch talk shows instead of talking, game shows instead of playing games. We watch reality TV. We settle for a simulacrum of reality instead of the real thing." Somehow, in an age where everybody and everything is connected, we feel disconnected and alone. There's this recent study of millennials aged 23 to 38 or so. According to the study, nearly one-third of respondents said that they always or often feel lonely. More than a quarter said that they didn't have a single close friend. In an age where everybody is connected, we find ourselves rubbing up against this hollowness of relationships mediated through technology. Something is missing. Jesus tells this parable. You can picture it. A farmer is on his way to plant some seeds. Maybe there's a hole in the sack, and the seeds start spilling out on the ground all along the way. Some seeds fall on the path, but it never has a chance. The packed dirt doesn't even notice that it's there, and the birds come and take it away. Some seed falls in the rocky soil, and it grows fast, but it withers in the sun because it has no root. Some falls among the weeds and the thorns and gets choked out, yields no grain. And then some finally falls on good soil. It takes root and it grows. The seed, Jesus tells his disciples, is the word. God's word, God's gifts. The word is everywhere, all around us. God is still speaking. God at work, beauty and wonder all around us. Right here, right now. Sometimes we're the path. We don't even notice the world around us. We walk through life heads down. I do this. I was out walking on a beautiful day, passing by people on the sidewalk, and I had my head down, looking at my phone, checking emails. Sometimes we're trying so hard to get the right picture at our kid's soccer game, the perfect image to send out, that we miss the moment. We're trying so hard to capture the moment that we forget to experience it. We live lives of perpetual distraction. T.S. Eliot said, "We are distracted from our distraction by distractions." It's not so surprising, really, that we get stuck with our heads down, that we find ourselves out of balance. Our phones are addictive by design. For Facebook and other apps, addiction is the business model. Sometimes we're the rocky soil. Our brains have been conditioned to be stimulated. With our perpetual distraction, we have gained a perpetual restlessness. Our attention spans are short. Today we are horrified by conditions at the border or a mass shooting at the elementary school, fires in the rainforest, wars in Syria and Yemen. But tomorrow there will be other news. We rise up quickly, impassioned, determined to do something. But when faced with the difficult work of figuring out what to do, of fighting the good fight day in and day out, we fall away, for we have no root. Sometimes we find ourselves overrun by weeds and thorns, the cares of the world, the lure of wealth and security. There's so much to keep track of. We've become multitaskers, navigating interruptions. We've gotten good at it, but it comes with a cost. Neuroscience is suggesting that our minds are actually being consumed by the medium. We are losing neurons for calm, linear thought. According to Jordan Grafman, head of the neuroscience unit at the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, the constant shifting of our attention when we're online may make our brains more nimble when it comes to multitasking, but improving our ability to multitask actually hampers our ability to think deeply and creatively. The more you multitask, the less deliberative you become, the less able to think and reason out a problem. You become more likely to rely on conventional ideas and solutions rather than challenging them with original lines of thought. Somehow our technology, which promised to free up more time for leisure, in some ways has started to consume us, making us feel the need to be always up to date, always available, 24/7. Our perpetual distraction and restlessness are joined by a perpetual sense of anxiety. We're caught up among the weeds and the thorns. The 24-hour news cycle exhausts our ability to feel empowered to do the things that make a difference. This relentless cycle exhausts our compassion, overwhelms us. The 24-hour work cycle can make us too busy for meaningful connection. We're too busy. I don't have time to say yes to community. So, of course, I feel disconnected. I feel disconnected from all the books I don't read, disconnected from all the people I don't talk with. I feel disconnected from church when I don't come, from God when I don't pray or read the Bible or gather with the community of faith. Of course, we feel disconnected. We're caught up among the weeds and the thorns, choking out the sense of God's presence, community, wholeness, spiritual well-being. We miss out on the word. We need space. We need space. A fire can't burn if the logs are packed too closely together. We need space. Sabbath is a gift. The command is a gift because we're not good at choosing in the moment what's best for ourselves, even when we know what's best for ourselves and want to choose it. We need these disciplines, these rules that we choose for ourselves, for our lives, because we're not good at choosing in the moment. So the scripture offers us Sabbath, space. Becoming good soil isn't about abandoning technology. It's about making space to experience the word. Remember, Sabbath wasn't about never working at all. It was about taking one day each week to remember that we are enough. It's not about getting rid of technology. It's about returning to balance. In Sabbath, we get set free from the relentless cycle. We are supposed to live differently. We get to live differently, to set boundaries that say it is enough. So what might it look like to take a Sabbath rest from our technology? Maybe it looks like one day a week when you take the batteries out of the remote and leave the TV off. Maybe it looks like one day a week when you leave the phone at home. Maybe once a week you go to Camp Blue Diamond or out on a trail somewhere where your phone doesn't work anyway. Maybe it looks like having a basket at your dinner table where everyone turns off their phones and puts them in while you eat together. Maybe it looks like having that basket next to your door when you come home. Maybe it looks like plugging your phone in for the night in a room you don't sleep in. Maybe like some friends of ours, you turn the internet in your house off every day from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. There are apps that will do that for you. Maybe it looks like not checking your email on the weekends. Or maybe it's waiting each day to check your email until after you've gotten to work and checked in with your coworkers about their lives. Maybe it means downloading a block site app and shutting out the sites you find yourself wasting the most time on. Or maybe you don't need to block the site, maybe you just need some help. In our house, Cindy and I had to help each other. She asked me to change her Facebook password, and I asked her to change my password on this board game website. You could ask the other person to log in at any time, but somehow that extra step of having to ask, the accountability of it, helped us get back in balance. Maybe it looks like committing to spend 15 minutes each night with your partner after all the work is done, but before you go into your virtual world. There's so many possibilities. What might work for you? Try something out. What have you got to lose? Whatever you choose, think about what you'd rather be doing, what you're choosing instead. Time with your kids, or with your partner, or with your friends. Time for exercise. Time to read. Time to sleep. A few years back, they remade the movie Charlotte's Web. You remember the story? There's this barn full of animals that talk to each other, including Wilbur, a pig that this little girl rescued. So the little girl keeps spending all her days in the barn with the animals, and one day her mother asks her, "Don't you think you're spending too much time out there?" "Where else would I go?" the little girl asks. "All my best friends are there. They talk to me." The little girl's mother is concerned. She seeks out the pediatrician and says, "It's crazy, right?" the mother asks, "this idea of animals talking to her?" Wise old pediatrician looks at the mother for a moment and he says, "I don't know. It's possible that the cow in the pasture or the horse in the field has been trying to talk to me for a long time, and I've just been too busy to notice. Your daughter," he says, "is in the midst of what they call a phase. And sadly, someday she will grow out of it." Friends, may we take the time to notice, to experience the wonders of God all around us, leaving aside all that gets in the way. Taking the time to notice the wonders of God all around us, the Word of God still speaking, giving life. Amen.